Yes, she's an interesting character, the woman at the well. She's fascinated me every time I read the story and try to bring it to life in sermons now. Never as well as they've done on that video, but she's interesting. She's outspoken. She's direct. She's honest. Whether or not she's rejected by people, some people suggest she's coming to the well at midday because people didn't want to hang around her if she went early. I often wonder maybe they were just thirsty in her household. She had to come back for a second lot. I don't know. But we tend to fill in. But she is so direct. And she is so very special. And there was so much tension between us. The Samaritans believed that the Jews had built the temple in the wrong place. The temple was, of course, built in Jerusalem. But the Samaritans believed that they'd misinterpreted the scripture. And that the Samaritans only believed in the first 5 books of the Bible anyway. But they said that the Bible said the temple should be built on Mount Gerizim. An entirely different place, and that the Jews had mistakenly built the temple in the wrong place. Quite a big mistake to make, I suppose. But that's where they say it should be. And at one time, a long time before, more than 100 years before, the Samaritans had actually, several hundred years before in fact, the Samaritans had built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. They said this is where it should be. And the Jews turned up with soldiers and knocked it flat. And it had never been rebuilt. So that didn't really endear them to the Samaritans, as you can well imagine. And as the video we just watched says, the Samaritans weren't allowed inside the temple anyway in Jerusalem. They were excluded from it. And the Jews considered the Samaritans unclean. So had Jesus accepted water from the Samaritan woman, he would have been technically impure, unclean, and before he went to the temple, he would have had to purify himself for having contaminated himself by drinking from a Samaritan's beaker or cup or whatever. And such was the sentiment among Jews that if the Jews went from Judah in the south to Galilee in the north, the very strict Jews would go the long way round so they wouldn't have to pass through Samaritan territory, which was much quicker. And in any case, the really Orthodox Jews wouldn't speak to a woman that wasn't their wife anyway in public. And they would never have talked to a woman, let alone, least of all, a Samaritan woman. So she is used to being rejected. And she has a thirst, not just for water, but for God. But her life has gone seriously wrong. Don't know the story. I have, in my own mind, tried to make up fictional account of her life, but it never really works. But she's angry, and she's angry with God, but she wants God. She's angry with men in general, and is taken aback by this strange Jewish man talking to her, which was culturally quite wrong, out of place. But she being the woman she is, she takes it in her stride. And she argues back. And Jesus offers her living water. Now, living water was a phrase they often used for a stream. So a well was water, but a stream was living water because it was flowing. And she thinks at first, of course, that Jesus is offering a stream through a house. So she just has to dip down and get the water. We in our day, he might have offered her a tap, you know, and a tap from Welsh water in a kitchen, which would be much nicer. And you can see why she responded to that, offering something much deeper. So I just want to say a few things briefly. Firstly, this: Jesus will never exclude you. Jesus will never exclude you. Years ago, when I was minister of Penrach Baptist Church in Bangor, we invented the idea of a community carols by candlelight service. And the idea was that all the different users who used our building, because we had a community centre attached to the as part of the church, that we'd invite them to take an active part in the community carols by candlelight service. And they did. And one of the groups, I won't distract you by telling you which group it was, but they took part in the service. And first time they'd ever taken part as a group in a church service. And it was quite unusual. And afterwards, there was the compulsory mince pies and coffee in the community centre. And one of them, I said, "Thank you so much for being here." And one of them said to me something that has haunted me ever since. She said, "It's nice to be included. It's nice to be included." It broke my heart because I said that you were never excluded. That's the truth. You are always included. You just didn't know it. We'd never told you. But you're not excluded. You are included. Jesus doesn't do categories of people. Jesus doesn't do ethnic groups. Jesus doesn't do classes of people. Jesus just does people. They're just people. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your accent, whatever your native language, whatever your ethnic background, whatever social group you belong to, wherever you work, whatever you do, to Jesus, you're just a person that he can talk to and relate to you. He will never put you into categories. And Jesus engages this woman. And the one answer that Jesus will never accept is, "This is not for the likes of me." But a lot of people do think that. That's the truth, isn't it? A lot of people think, "That's not for the likes of me." And Jesus says, "Yes, it is. It is, you know. I came for you." My wife retired from it now, but she was for many years one of the street pastors in Bangor. And I don't know if you know the street pastors' ministry. They go out, they start their shift at 10 o'clock at night on the streets in Bangor. And they walk those streets till 4 in the morning. Especially around like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock when the nightclub's empty. Now, those of you who walk down Bangor High Street might think it's a bit of a ghost town at the moment with all the boarded up shops. But you need to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's heaving. It's absolutely heaving. Even the seagulls come at 3 o'clock in the morning to eat the spilt chips and pies that are dropped from the kebab shops. Not just people, the seagulls are there too. And it's crowded, you know, about 1,000 people at a time can come out of the nightclub. And it's very, very noisy. And all the street pastors do, they just give out water to people. They give out flip-flops to the girls who by this time can't walk on their high heels anymore. And they're walking in bare feet, so the street pastors give them flip-flops. And actually, some of the girls now think that street pastor flip-flops are a trophy of a night out. And they carry a brush and pan with them, and they sweep up the broken glass because they know people are going to be walking in barefoot down the road. So whenever they find broken glass, they sweep it up, put it in the bin. They see a bottle, they pick up the bottle, they put the bottle in the bin. According to the police, if somebody picks up a bottle and glasses somebody, the cost to the taxpayer of accident and emergency and police and courts is over £100,000. So the street pastors just pick up the bottles and put them in the bin. They give out space blankets to the girls. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's nearly freezing point. The girls are wearing nothing very much. They're cold. They give them a space blanket to see them on the way home. They make sure they get to a place of safety on their way home. And it's amazing. They get hugs. They get selfies taken with them, and people can't believe that the Christians are out there at 3 o'clock in the morning just looking after them. They're not preaching, they're not belting them with over the head with a Bible. They might feel like doing it sometimes, but they don't. They just care, and they say to people, you are included. Don't you dare say this is not for the likes of me. So Jesus will never reject you. And the second thing, Jesus will insist on getting spiritual. He would insist on getting spiritual. People often say, you know, who would you invite to your dinner party? And people say, oh, I'd invite Jesus. Well, look, he'd turn it into a spiritual talk. Whatever it was you were talking about, it will end up spiritual. I'm not going to pray in Jerusalem, says the woman. She's arguing with Jesus at this point. She wouldn't be allowed in the temple anyway. I'm not going there. And Jesus says, listen, you need God. It doesn't matter where you are, because the time is here when those who worship God will worship him from the heart. It doesn't matter what building you're in. Worship God in spirit and in truth, you'll find God. One of my favourite books is a Canadian author. He's a strange man in some ways. And he's written a number of books which I got on my shelf. I love them. One of my favourite is called Life After God, written by a man called Douglas Copeland. Ever come across his books? You have? Hallelujah. They're good, aren't they? And this is my favourite passage from his book, Life After God. And it takes up one page, a whole page, a little paragraph takes up the whole page in the book. I'm going to read it to you. And this is what he says. This is what his character says. Now, here is my secret. I tell it to you with an openness of heart that I doubt I shall ever achieve again. So I pray that you are in a quiet room as you hear these words. My secret is that I need God, that I am sick and can no longer make it alone. I need God to help me give, because I no longer seem to be capable of giving, to help me be kind, as I no longer seem capable of kindness, to help me love, as I seem beyond being able. So love, here's my secrets. I need God. But Jesus will make some profound observations on your life. And he does get to the heart of this woman, doesn't he? He's not going to pretend her life isn't messed up. The Bible uses all kinds of words. Sin, transgression, iniquity. As a preacher, I ditched those words because I realised people just blanked over when I used them. Sorry about this. Probably shows I'm a very bad preacher. I just use the word stuff. And I'd still say to people, you know, there's stuff in your life, isn't there? They say, stuff. Definitely stuff in my life. Stuff that shouldn't be there. Stuff. I know some of you are older, probably don't get the term. But younger folks seem to respond, stuff, there is stuff. Stuff it needs dealing with. I know my life isn't as it should be. I've got to get rid of this stuff. I've got to get it right. And I say, look, Jesus has been inviting you for a long time. When a couple I knew, they've been going out for a while, and they're in Edinburgh. And they went for a walk in Edinburgh, and there's a place in Edinburgh called Arthur's Seat. It's an old volcano that overlooks the city. And they walked to the top of that, and apparently they found a bench, and they sat at the bench. And this was the point when he decided to pop the question. Sat on the bench overlooking Arthur's Seat, he asked her if she'd marry him. She didn't hear him. So she didn't reply. No, he didn't know whether she'd not heard him and not replied, or whether she had heard him and didn't want to reply. So what does he do now? So the poor man was in agony for a while, till eventually plucked up the courage to ask her, this time audibly, to marry him. And she did, by the way. She read, I married him. And she married him. I say to some people, you know, Jesus has been inviting you to follow him, and you haven't heard. You've not heard. He's calling you to be a Christian, to follow him. It hasn't registered. And this woman, she's the first person that Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah to. To this woman, not to the religious people, not to his disciples. He confesses to her that he's the Messiah. Of all people on the planet, this woman, whose life is full of stuff, she gets to hear from Jesus that he's the Messiah. And then she goes into town, and she invites the whole town to hear Jesus. I mean, she's one of the great evangelists of the Bible, actually. She's one of the great preachers of the Bible. This woman, of all people, she turns into one of the most significant people in the New Testament. She's fantastic. Isn't she amazing? Don't you love her? I'll just finish with this. I have in my head, I'm an old man now, and I have a list in my head of heroes, people I've known, people I've worked with, and people I think are just the greatest people I've ever met. They're not famous, you won't have heard of them. But I think these people are just great people, amazing people. And I'm sure in heaven they're held as heroes. And one of my favourites is a lady called Maria. Donna Maria, that's her name. And when we were working in Brazil, we were church planting at the same time. We were always church planting, starting new churches. And though I lived like 50 miles away, down a dirt road which took forever to negotiate, it's all asphalt road now, by the way. It's easy. But in those days, it was a hard drive. But this town had grown, a town called Sorriso, which means smile. And it was a town of soya. They were planting soya, green gold, they called it. Huge warehouses full of soya. And Maria lived in a wooden house. Husband was a saqueiro. His job was to work in these great storehouses and have 50 kilo sacks of soya dropped on his head, which he would then carry, which would then drive nearly 2,000 miles to the port of Paranaguá, where it would be put on a ship and shipped probably to Japan or the UK. Just how it was. And that was her husband, smashing guy. And Maria was a believer, and I can't remember how I found her. And I said, can I come and take a service once a month in your house? Yes, of course you can, Pastor. And her husband said yes. So I'd go along. I'd just take my guitar, me, and in her house. And she'd invite the neighbours. And their little living room was got to be full of the neighbours, and they'd bring their children. And it wasn't easy because it was just me and her. And she couldn't read or write. But she could invite the neighbours. She was good at that. So we'd get the children. I'd teach the children songs and action songs, and the grown-ups thought this was great. And then I'd have to teach a hymn because the grown-ups didn't know any hymns either. So I taught them some hymns, gave them words, and sang a few songs, mostly by memory. And then I occasionally sang the odd solo. I was that desperate. And then I'd tell them about Jesus. It was rough and ready, but it worked. And every week her house filled with people, and she began to get agitated. She said, Pastor, I've got a, it's tearing me up. I said, what? She said, I can't read. And the children are coming and asking me to teach them songs. I can't read. And they're asking me to tell them Bible stories. Pastor, I can't read. And I want to read because I want to tell them about Jesus. She said, Pastor, I'm going to learn to read. I said, okay. God bless you. That's all you can say, isn't it? Well, God bless you, sister. Away you go. And I went back a month later. She said, Pastor, something incredible's happening. I said, what? She said, I'm learning how to read. I'm just picking up the Bible and it's beginning to make sense. I said, well, sister, you just carry on doing that. You're doing great. And after 4 or 5 months, she said, Pastor, I don't know how this has happened, but I can read. And when the children came, she'd teach them, she could now read them, the words of the song. She taught them the words, and she'd tell them Bible stories, and it carried on. I moved on in life, I don't know what happened. There is now a strong church in Sorriso, where she lived. And that church I know has planted 3 other churches. And I imagine she's probably still in one of them. I don't know. But you can see why she's my hero, can't you? And I just think when I get to heaven, she's going to be wearing a hero's badge. And everyone's going to say, oh, you know Maria from Sorriso. Oh, I know Maria. One of God's greats, as is this lady in our story. So just bow our heads for a second and pray. Lord, there are heroes, and we can be heroes too. As we learn about this woman rejected by society, a life full of stuff, but full of bad memories and hurts and anger, becomes one of the great preachers of the Bible and brings a whole village to hear Jesus. Lord, that can be us, to serve you, to love you, to find you. This is our prayer. That you bless us in our ministries, in Jesus' name. Amen.